those who are watching us online, for those who are just now tuning in, we welcome you at Oceans United. Thank you for joining us for this part of this service. I believe God's got a great word for all of us this morning. Would you believe that? Amen, amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. Oh, wow. We are excited about the Word of God in this church. Amen. And at this point, I'm going to release Tidal Wave and Anchor Youth. Let them go have church. Kyler, it's time for them to biggity-biggity bounce. Right? Biggity-biggity bounce. Welcome to church. We are right in the middle of a series called Let's Reach. Sometimes, to reach something, we need a little bit of assistance. Would you agree? Sometimes there are things that we need to reach that we need some assistance. If you are anything like me, I'm a little challenged when it comes to height. I know you all can see me, and I can see you all the way out there. That's because I'm standing a little bit on higher ground. But sometimes we need assistance to reach the place where God has called us. To get to the place where God has called us, we need a little bit of push sometimes. And sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement. We need the word, somebody to speak into our lives, to say you are not alone. You are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. You're not the running the race by yourself. There are others that have gone before you. They are cheering you on. And he's saying, come on, you can do it. You're not alone. If at my house and you come to my house, in my kitchen, the cabinets are kind of high. A lot of time I rely on things like this to reach certain places in my kitchen that I normally would not be able to reach. Anybody out there not like this? Jesus. I'm not alone. I'm challenged in that area. Many of us are challenged in the areas where God is calling us to go. A lot of times we don't know how to get there. It seems like where God is calling is too far out, too far up, and we can't reach. In the book of Genesis chapter 28, it talks about this beautiful picture. It paints a beautiful picture of a ladder. And that's what we're going to start this morning. We're talking about reaching up. And that's the focus of this message. Whether a child is reaching up to his father to be picked up, or whether us as a church, we are reaching up in worship, in surrender unto God, we're expecting the Father to just pick us up and says, come on. That's what we do as child of God. Is to always go in this motion of reaching up. Saying, Jesus, I need you. And I need you now. I need you more than ever before. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 10, it says, now Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So we came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. That was not a very good night. If you laying down and you have a stone or a rock as your pillow, that will be a tough, long night. We're going camping out next week, and Lord Jesus, help us to have some pillows. When I go camping, I bring air mattresses. Okay, I'm not going to lay down on the hard, cold ground. I bring air mattresses. I even bring a pillow. Okay, it's called what? Glamping. That's what I do. But Jacob laid there, and he actually fell asleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The word ladder in Hebrew is sulam. S-U-L-L-A-M. It's a very important word. And I'm sure you're going to use this word sometime this week. What I really want to point out is this. The word ladder here means access point. Access point. Now I want you to remember this, because I'm going to circle and come back to it later on. And I'm going to ask you the question. So I'm hoping you would actually remember what the word ladder really means, okay? There are several things that we can draw from this vision that Jacob had. Many things, but I'm going to focus on one thing. One thing, just one thing. And that is reaching up for access. Reaching up for access. Jacob is a son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. And for the longest time, God remained silent about the promise that he gave to Abraham. In fact, for the longest part of the life of Isaac, you don't even hear the promise ever mentioned again. And you would think as if God forgot about his promise. You would think, because you read the word and you're like, where is the promise that God made to Abraham? But then came that night when Jacob was there, laying down and having this vision. A vision that God was just burning in his spirit, burning in his mind. Have you ever had such a vision from God? It might not be as elaborate or detailed as this, but you've heard something from God. And it's a reminder of something that you've heard a while back, a promise that God has given to you. And this time, God is bringing it back to your remembrance. All of a sudden, you're making sense of a vision that you've received when you were a child. And now you are doing something else. And the Holy Spirit brings it back to full circle and brings it back to your remembrance. And reminds you of his goodness, of his plan that he has for you, that he has not even forgotten about you. It might seem like God was silent for a long time, but God is preparing the ground for the promise. He's preparing the soil of your heart so that when you do receive the full revelation of this vision, it makes sense. It will not frighten you when you hear it. It will not frighten you when you see it. When your spirit is bearing witness to what God is saying, you embrace it. A lot of times the vision takes time. When you hear something, it doesn't make sense, does not mean it doesn't come from God. Probably at the moment when you're hearing it, you don't fully understand the full extent of that dream, the full extent of that vision. Put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. At some point in time, when you're laying there somewhere and you got a rock underneath your head, that will make sense. When you're laying down somewhere and you're not really thinking about God, you're going about your day-to-day job and you're going about your day-to-day business, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings it back and reminds you of who He is in your life. Because a lot of time we think that God would only speak when you're actually just in a place of worship. Yes, He does. But that's not always the case. Sometimes you might be driving down the road and then all of a sudden, boom. You might be in the gym working out and then, boom. There it comes. God works in mysterious ways. Not always on our own timing, on our own schedules. He has His own ways and His own time of releasing what God wants to do in your life. So at this point in time, Jacob, he's actually on the run. What's intriguing about the life of Jacob in this particular moment of his life, about this vision, it's not so much that the angels were going up and down the ladder. What's really intriguing is God overlooks every mistake that He's ever made. I find this very intriguing. How God reveals Himself regardless of our mistakes, of our past, of our faults, of everything that we think that we might have done that is wrong, that would jeopardize what God wants to do in our life. God doesn't judge Jacob, but instead, He blesses him. This is the part when you hear this and you read about this, you say, stop, God. You've got the wrong guy. Already factored in all of your stupid mistakes. He's already factored that in. The mistakes that you make are not catching God by surprise. He's factored in your stupidity. He's factored in everything that you say that might come across wrong and might be called me by many other names, but He's factored all of that in, and He's saying, I still got a plan for you. You see, Jacob was a deceiver, a liar, a cheater. He cheated his brother of his birthright. He deceived his father him when he was not supposed to receive that blessing. I don't know much about his childhood, but I bet you this, he cheated at every game that he played. When he was was playing marbles out there. I don't know what they played back in those days, but let's pretend it was marbles. He probably just grabbed a few marbles and put it in the back pocket and off he went. He probably did all of that and much, much more. He was a deceiver. So this is the point when God is calling and reminding him of a blessing. You say, stop, Lord. You've got the wrong dude. This guy does not need to be blessed the way that you're saying you're going to bless him. But God overlooks his mess. And listen to this. God overlooks his mess and gives him full access to the covenant he made with him. Isn't that crazy about God? God overlooks everything that he's done that is wrong. He's on the run for what he's done. He's running away. God gives him the vision, reminds him of who he is, and reminds him that he's got a plan and a purpose for his life. It doesn't matter where you are this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. When God has got a calling on your life, it will come to pass. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, of everything that you believe in God for. He starts it and he finishes it. He does it. Now, there's consequences for the mistakes that we make. But all along the way, he's right there with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. In fact, he will use some of those mistakes as a platform to launch us where he wants us to go. What we think is a prison for our lives in terms of the life lessons, we think that, man, this is it. It's done. I've made so many mistakes, I can't get out of it. God is saying, you know what? Even those prisons, I can set you free. I can use those dark moments of your life and propel you into your destiny. Nothing can change that. We can get in the way. But when we allow God to have full authority in our lives, he will make a way where there seems to be absolutely no way, humanly speaking. Thank God, for God is not a human like you and me. He's God Almighty. He's God all by himself. He's a good God. He's a good, good God. Everything that he does is good. And at this point, he's reminding Jacob of his goodness. He's saying, Jacob, there is nothing that you've done in the past that can rob you of the vision that I have for you. This is what he says to Jacob. He says, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You're going to go rogue. You won't even be able to count. It says, in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then he says, behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. Isn't that a promise that we've seen happening? We, the children of Israel, coming back to this land, for I will not leave you until, listen to this, I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. He has a promise for you. God will not leave you until he has completed what he's promised you. He's with you all along the way. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. you're going to be blessed just like Abraham. Buddy, everything that you do, Lord God, is going to be blessed. Because I'm the Lord, and I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, I will accompany you. Whatever I started in your life, I will complete it. I will finish it. I mean, that's probably a good enough blessing, right? That's probably good enough. I just stop right here. I mean, this is worth celebrating right now. Because if God is coming to me and saying, you know what, I will bless you. Wherever you go, I will bless you. I will be with you. I will accompany you. I would lead you. I would guide you. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, that's good. I'm good. I'm going to sit down and be happy. But this is not the way that God handled it. God said, I'm about to give you something a little bit deeper, Jacob. God gives Jacob a vision of what is going to happen 1,500 years from that point. God gave Jacob a vision of what's going to happen 1,500 years after. We're talking about close to, there's 14 generations between this and that. There's 42 generations between the Abraham all the way to Jesus. Now we're talking here about probably 40 generations at that point. 40 multiplied by 35, which is a segment of a generation. That's the way they counted it in the Bible. If you look at it, it's like 1,500 years. God revealed to Jacob something that you and I, we are experiencing today. Isn't that crazy? God chose a liar, a deceiver, to reveal that. He did not even reveal this to Abraham. Jacob, the liar, the deceiver, got this revelation that we now experience. Jacob wakes up and points to the ladder. And he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He's saying this is heaven on earth. That song that we sang today is so prophetic. So prophetic. It ties into what we are experiencing through this vision that God gave to Jacob. God chose Jacob. And here's a shocking statement. Without this ladder here, you and me, we cannot reach up to God. Now you say, this is just a ladder. What are you talking about? Just a simple ladder. But without this ladder, you and I, we have no access to reach up. No access whatsoever. Now here's the question for you. What's the Hebrew word for ladder? Access point. Sulam. Access point. Now, this ain't no ordinary access point. You like my American version of this? I Americanized this for a little bit. This ain't no ordinary access point. This is not your usual ladder that you use at home to change a light bulb. This is a little bit different. I bet you when you go home and the next time you use a ladder, you're going to think about this. Because a ladder is not just This ladder is an access point between us and God. The full meaning of that word means this. It's an access point between God and man. An access point between God and man. Who is our access point? God revealed to Jacob 1,500 years before Jesus was even born, pointed to Jesus. Without this ladder, we have no access to God the Father. Without this ladder, we have no eternal life. This is the way Jesus said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one reaches up to the Father except through me. If in your life you're looking at going up to God based on something other than Jesus, you're reaching up to the wrong place. Your access point is in the wrong place. You're reaching up to the wrong something. Whatever it might be that you're trying to gain access to God is totally off. And you need to change your access point. There is no other way that you may access the Father but through this ladder right here, which is Jesus himself. Without this ladder, you're going in the wrong direction. Jacob had a vision about Jesus, the only ladder, the only mediator between God and man. Over the course of time in history, in the beginning of time, that ladder was not even there. Because of sin, removed that access between man and God. Not even Jacob, even through this vision, has that same level of access that you and I, we have. I am not talking about an access that we have when you guys come in on Sunday morning. I am talking about an access that you have anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're climbing, you're hiking up on the mountain here in Kodiak, or you're down in the valley somewhere, or you're out fishing on a boat. Everywhere you are is an access point. Do you need to be in church? Absolutely yes. Because I don't want to hear like, well, Pastor said on Sunday that we need to be out there fishing. No, you need to be in church. There's a time for fishing. There's a time of being here in the presence of other brothers and sisters and lifting the name of Jesus high. There is no substitute for church. Your access point can be anywhere, anytime. Thank God for this. Thank God for this. Because when I'm traveling, when I'm driving down the road, I need an access point right there. I'm driving down the road, I'm listening to worship. That's my access point to God. Everything cranked up when I'm driving. That's a beautiful access point. When I've got the bass pumping, when things are moving, that's my access point to God. It might be different for you. You might have it a little bit lower, but me, it's like everything got to be vibrating for me to have the right access point to God. Just a quick little story. I was driving. I rented a car from Anchorage, and I'm driving down to Soldotna to preach. Getting in this vehicle, I'm driving down, and I'm like, goodness. I'm listening to praise and worship. The bass was so bad. I drove half an hour down this direction. I made a turn. I went back to the guy and said, hey, we got a problem. We got a problem. He's like, what happened? I'm like, I need bass. I'm driving for 3 hours and this little thing, it's not doing it. I got an upgrade. I had all the bass that I needed to get to my destination. That was my access point to God. It doesn't matter where you are. Whatever your access point is, take it. Take it. Take it with everything that you got. Don't let anything get in the way of this access point. You want to reach up to God because that's what you were born to do. That's what you were created to do, is to reach up to God. When you stand at the foot of this ladder, you are all equal. All equal. A pastor would stand at the foot of ladder exactly like you would. The greatest evangelist in this world would actually stand at the foot of this ladder just like you and I would. You're standing here at the foot of this ladder on the blood-bought place, access point of Jesus. Jesus paid the price for you to be able to stand here. And when you stand here at this point, your mistakes, your past are covered by this blood. That's why the blood was spilled right there, is to cover everything that you've done that is wrong. You stand today on the blood of Jesus, washing you, cleansing you from everything that you've done that is wrong, and getting rid of every guilt that you've placed in your mind. Every scenario that you've placed, that you've played in your mind in terms of, I am not good enough. I am not worthy. Jesus is saying, it's worth it. I paid the price for it. When you're standing on the price that I've paid for you. You're not standing on your own. You're not standing on your good works. You're not standing on everybody else's faith. No matter how long ago you were born again. No matter how long ago you were saved. It doesn't matter. When you're standing on this spot to gain access to God, you are all equal. But God doesn't just want you and me to just stand there and stare at a ladder. It would be a shame if we get to this place and we walk up to this ladder and we stop. And we kind of like, wow, look, beautiful clouds, wonderful scenery, but we don't climb up to enjoy the benefits of this ladder. The benefits that comes with this ladder goes beyond what you and I can comprehend. Because when we stand here, we are empowered by His grace to climb up, to reach up. Even climbing this ladder, we can't do it on our own strength. Isn't that crazy? You think that a grown man like me could climb up on this ladder all by myself? You know what? I can't. I need the grace of God to propel me to climb up this ladder. So do you. We all grace of God, which is His empowerment to do His will, to climb up this ladder. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to draw us in, to empower us and say, you can do it. Here you go. There's a little push. You can do it. And sometimes it's like this. Go! Do it! Sometimes we need this. We need God to just say, get out of the way. I'm coming through. So when you stand here, you're standing on holy ground because of the blood of Jesus. If you need healing, that's where you stand. If you need healing, you can't just stand at the bottom and watch others go up and down, and you just watch and observe and say, oh, how wonderful God is. Look at this person receiving their breakthrough of what they're believing, and you just stand and you watch. God wants you to climb up too. If you need provision for anything that God has called you to do, guess what you do? You climb up. You climb up and you start looking as where God is calling you. What He's calling you to do, the calling that He has for you, He's already made the provision for it. He's saying, would you reach up to me? Would you come up to where I am? Would you not just sit back and observe and get happy and not enjoy the blessings? If you need deliverance, that's where you go. You need love, you need peace, you need joy. You need everything that the Holy Spirit has for your life. You don't just sit back and watch others go. You jump in. You climb up. You reach up for God. If you need direction for the dream that He's got for you, you got to climb up. Because from this perspective, you see the direction. Way down at the bottom, it doesn't make sense. But when you reach up to God, you see where God is calling you to go. Things make sense when you reach up to God. You cannot reach out without first reaching up. This whole month, we've been focusing on this. On reaching out. Getting out of ourselves, reaching forward. But if we don't reach up first, we tend to do it in our own strength. That's the vision that God gave to Jacob. It was for this experience right now. God is saying, time to wake up, church. Time to reach up beyond what you can think or imagine in your own natural strength. You need direction. You need to be up there. Not down there. You need to be up high enough to reach up to the clouds and say, Jesus, I am here. You call me, and here I am. God is calling all of us. Not just to sit back and wallow in pain, in past mistakes, in unworthiness. God is saying it's time to reach up for His divine calling, for His divine purpose, for whatever He's called you to do. You must reach up. We're going to do some reaching up. We're going to do some reaching up. I know I did not prepare the worship team for this. Jesse? See, I call with the voices. Jesse? Somebody get Jesse. You know, God is faithful in everything. Sometimes we look at our own situation And we tend to think that God is, it's kind of like God is not in the mix. I lack of better words. I don't even know how to say this. It seems like we are trying to do this. We're trying to do this life that He's called us to live. And then we're like, God, you're not in the mix. You're not there. And God is saying, you know, all along, I'm with you. When you were troubled, I was right there. Because I never left. I never left. God has never left your life. I can look back in my own personal life. I can look back at times when I did not even know Him. You know, when you're going through life, when you don't even serve Him, you have no idea what you're doing. Kind of like that's default by nature, right? This is what happens. You're going through life and you have no clue because there's no Jesus. You're not even aware there's a ladder to climb up. There was the longest part of my life when I... when I was searching. Looking for this ladder, because I knew there was something greater, higher than the place where I was. I searched many, many places. I was looking for God. I explored every faith that you can think of. I was searching because I knew that there was something better than where the place where I was standing at that time. And I was saying, Jesus, even though I did not know His name, in fact calling on God and saying, speak to me. I need to hear something. Because He's there. He saw me in my mess. And He picked me out. And He gave me a plan. And He gave me a purpose. He gave me a dream. He gave me a vision. This is my way. Now you walk in it. And I'll help you along the way. I believe this is many